you would, to Colossians 3, and stand with me if you're able. Colossians chapter 3. We've been studying Living Alive for a long time now. Honestly, this launched out of Easter, the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, he resurrected to life, is why we've been studying this. The fact that he rose again means that we are risen in Christ, we have victory in Christ, the hope of the gospel, the truth that Jesus died and rose again and has forgiven us, means that our life should be different. And so we're going to pray together. We're going to read Romans 6:11 first. Sorry, I want to read that together one last time, and then we'll get in Colossians chapter 3. Romans 6:11. We're going to pray, and then we'll read this together out loud, all right? Brother Steve Mitchell, will you lead us in a word of prayer before we read? Amen. Romans 6:11. Let's read that together. We'll get it on the screen here. Let's read it together. Here we go. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Romans chapter 3. We're going to start at verse 1 and study some things tonight. But I wanted to read that together one more time because that's the crux of it all. Living alive because we are dead to sin and alive unto God through Jesus Christ. That's who we are. We are alive. Amen. We're in Colossians 3. Colossians 3. Living alive it starts with our identity, but it doesn't start there. It continues in our lives. When we go through times of pressure or temptation or weakness, we still live alive in Jesus Christ. When we do that through having communion with Christ, by abiding with him. We do that by getting our minds right, by replacing anxiety with prayer. We do that even when we're faced with difficulties, when we fail, when we fall, when we get tired, when we're discouraged, when relationships are hard. We keep living alive because we repent. Amen. And because of the grace of God, we endure. Amen. We can go through times of suffering. And tonight, we're going to kind of wrap all this up with this. We need to live alive in ordinary life because the Christian life isn't lived always in crisis moments, and it's not always a crisis. As a matter of fact, most of our life is lived in ordinary day-to-day life. Ordinary, live your life, take care of your house, take care of your family, go to work, go to school, come home. It's just the mundane in and out day-to-day life is where most of us are most of the time. And we have to live for Jesus in everything, not just when things are hard, not just when things are great, but in the just mundane life-to-life of day-to-day life. So we got to have this resurrection life in our kitchen, around our kitchen table. Amen. We got to have this resurrection life on the job site or in the office. You got to have this resurrection life when you guys go back to school, in the car, when you're going to and from, when you're on your phone, when you're watching TV, when you're doing your chores, when you're with your family, when you're with your friends, when you're in the church, when you're by yourself, the resurrection life has to be lived out. So Colossians 3 verse 1 says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Amen. We start by remembering that our resurrection life, it comes out of it. It rises out of life with Christ. If ye then be risen with Christ. Well, you're sitting in Muldrow, Oklahoma, so are you risen with Christ? Yes. Does that feel like a trick question? Because this doesn't feel like being risen with Christ, but we are, right? Why? Because we believed on him, because we're saved, because we are dead to sin and alive unto God through faith in Jesus Christ. So if you are risen with Christ, then you ought to seek the things that are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. The believer has died with Christ, risen with Christ. Christian living is not a man trying to get better by acting better or be new by acting better. We are new creatures in Christ, and we're trying to learn to walk according to that new life. Amen. So I'm not trying to get new life by the way I live, but I'm trying to live according to the new life that he's already Amen. Given me. Romans chapter 6 and verse 4 says, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Was it a glorious thing when Jesus rose from the grave? Was he glorified? Do you suppose it was pretty awesome? I mean, they were terrified, they were scared, they were afraid, but Jesus Christ conquered death and is alive forevermore. And that's our reality too. So as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, we also should walk in newness of life. So our life flows out of that every day. Listen, even when you wake up late to go to work, you still have to live the resurrection life in Jesus. Even when everything's going wrong and falling apart around you, you're still alive unto God through Jesus Christ, Amen. Your Lord. So everything in our life has to come out of that reality. I am dead to sin. I'm alive unto God. Amen. No matter what. No matter what the suffering, the sorrow, the persecution, the trial, the tribulation, the difficulty. And listen, the other side's true too. Even when things are really good. I started reading Judges in my daily reading. And how many of you have ever read the book of Judges before? A few of you have? Okay, a lot of you have. Man, it's a roller coaster, isn't it? Amen. I mean, just from the jump, it's like all the people, they served God until Joshua and all the elders who were with him did, and then they turned and served false gods, and things got really bad, and God let them get whooped, and they cried out in their affliction, and God sent a judge and delivered them, and everything was really good, and God blessed them. And so while everything was really good, they turned away from God and went back to idols again. Amen. It's just over and over and over again, and I don't know if you do that, but sometimes I'm like, what is wrong with you people? Amen. Right, you just getting frustrated at them? Like, I already know what's coming on the next page. You big dummy, stop it. Like, stop. But you know it's a mirror? I mean, my Bible's not a megaphone to yell at somebody else or the people on the pages. It's a mirror, and I'm like, that's what we do. When things are bad, we're crying out to God, please save us. Things get really good, and we're like, oh, I got this. But no, everything has to flow out of the fact that I was dead in trespasses and sins, and now I'm alive. So I got to live like that. I got to walk in that newness of life. So resurrection life rises out of life with Christ every day. The risen life must have a heavenly focus. If you're risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. So it's seeking and it's setting. So it's what I'm pursuing. It's what I'm after. And it's where I'm focused on. It's like where I want to live. So my affections, I'm going to put those, my heart, with Jesus. Amen. It's, by the way, it's not heaven unless he's there. Right. So it's not about the place, it's about the person. Amen. So I'm going to seek him, I'm going to seek Jesus, I'm going to set my affections, my heart, my mind, my desires, my thoughts, the things that I'm after, I'm going to place those with him. Amen. So I have to have that focus on him, I have to have my direction on him. Now, have you ever heard this? Some people are so heavenly minded, they're of no earthly good. You ever heard that? I mean, it goes both ways, right? You could be so earthly minded, you're no heavenly good. Amen. We have to be both. Right. If the Lord didn't want you to do good here on the earth right now, you wouldn't be here. Amen. He would just take you home. So he wants us to be heavenly focused, but that doesn't mean we're not of any earthly good. We still have responsibilities and work to do here. And he's going to get into that. He's going to talk about ordinary work, family relationships, what we say, how we forgive, our heart attitude and our daily conduct. He's going to deal with all of that. Don't ignore life on earth. He just wants us to get our focus set on Jesus. Amen. So that while I'm here, my focus is on Christ. I have a really hard time with that. I'm glad none of you do. But I have a really hard time about, my focus is usually on me. Even when I do something for somebody else, it's usually selfishly motivated. Does anybody get that? I'm glad none of you are like this. My goodness, you people are so good. Hey, some of you guys that are married, have you ever done something for your wife just because you love her?
Amen.
Amen. That's so good. Have you ever done something for your wife just so she wouldn't gripe at you?
Amen.
If you didn't?
Amen.
Some of you guys are so scared to say yes right now. Like even when we do good things for people, sometimes we do it because it makes us feel good. Like, we're so sorry. It's like we can't ever get it right. And if you struggle with that, you're not alone, because I struggle with it all the time, too. I'm just trying to tell you that we have got to do things for the right motivations.
Amen.
I want to do it because I love him. I want to do it for his glory.
Amen.
I want to do it not for what I get out of it.
Right.
But that's really hard with God. You know why? Because he's always good.
Amen.
He never gives me what I deserve because of my sin. Amen. Never.
Right.
Never. And he never will.
Amen.
He never punishes us or rewards us according to our iniquity like
Amen.
We deserve. He never does.
Amen.
And I know that when I do good, he's going to bless me richly, abundantly, so much
Amen.
More
Amen.
Than what I, the good that I did, he's going to give me so much more than what that deserves. So it's hard with God to not be selfishly motivated because, listen, even if I pray for my enemies, he heaps hot coals of fire on them.
Amen.
Some of y'all know that verse too, a little too well. Some of you know that one a little too well. Okay. The risen life has to have heavenly focus.
Amen.
We live alive, not just because we've been made alive, but because Christ is our life. Look at verse 3. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God.
Amen.
When Christ, who is our life,
Amen.
Shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory.
Amen.
Listen, this is a loaded phrase. It's kind of like when the Bible says multiple times, the just shall live by faith. We know that to mean that you're justified by faith in Jesus. You're made alive by faith. Faith is the thing that God uses to make you alive. But it's not just that you're made alive by faith. You live, if you're made just, you live by faith. So it's
Amen.
Double meaning.
Amen.
And I believe this is the same. Christ is our life. I don't have life apart from Christ.
Right.
If I have the Son, I have life. If I don't have the Son, I don't have life. So he is my life. But I think it's deeper than that. I think it's bigger than that. I think it's more than just saying, I have life in Christ. I think he's saying Christ is my life.
Amen.
Like, what I do in being alive is Christ. He's everything.
Amen.
He is all in all.
Amen.
People make a lot of things their life. Some people, their job is their life.
Amen.
Is that true? Some people, their hobbies are their life.
Amen.
Some people, this is going to sting, you're not going to like it. Some people, their family is their life.
Amen.
Some people, their kids are their life.
Amen.
And Lord help some of you people. Some of you people, your pets are your life. I love you. I don't hate your pets. I just don't think your pets should be your life. Christ is your life.
Amen. Amen.
And if you want to do best for all of those other things, you would do well to remember that.
Amen.
And live that way.
Right.
Man, I love my family. I love my kids. I love this church. There's a lot of things in my life that I love, but I'm not going to do them any good by making them my life.
Right.
You guys get that, right?
If I
make my wife my life, that might look good, might be great for her, might be good for some people around us, but that's not what's best for her.
Amen.
What's best for her is I make Christ everything.
Right.
I remember my pastor illustrating it like this. He's way taller than I am, so it doesn't work as well. But, you know, any of us can hold people up so far, like in our own strength. Like, I can hold people up. I can hold my family up. I can hold my friends up. I can hold my hobbies and my job. I can hold it up so far. But if I keep Christ first,
Amen.
Like, I can't even reach where he's at And when I put him first, he holds all of the rest of it up there with him.
Amen.
Does that make sense?
Amen.
So he holds it. I should have had Wayne come up here and do this illustration. Keeping Christ first because he's everything.
Amen.
Not just the first thing, not just the best thing. He is everything. Charles Spurgeon said it like this: when you have all things, find Christ in all. And when you have lost all things, then find all things in Christ. Whatever you got, find Christ in it all.
Amen.
And whatever you ain't got, find it in Christ.
Amen.
I'm so thankful tonight that Christ is my life.
Amen.
My life is not defined by my past.
Amen.
It's not defined by my sin, by my failure, by the trials and tribulations of my life, by my anxieties or my fear. My life is not defined by my work or my role. It's not defined by my success. My life is defined by Christ.
Amen.
To live the old life must be put to death. Look at verse 5. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence and covetousness, which is idolatry.
Amen.
To live alive, the old life must be put to death. That's what it means to mortify something. You guys are familiar with a mortuary. It's death. Put to death your members upon the earth. This, I would say, is your old life. Just like 1 Corinthians 6 tells us that you can't be deceived, that fornicators and idolaters and adulterers are not going to inherit the kingdom of heaven. And he says, but such were some of you. That's our old life. That's who I was.
Amen.
And I got to put that away. I got to kill it. I can't just set it on a shelf, put it up in the closet. I got to kill it. That old life has to die so that I can live. And he says the old man has to be put off. Verse 8. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing you put off the old man with his deeds. And he really gets into just the way we live day by day. The way you talk.
Amen.
Your temper, your attitude, your honesty, your relationships, all of those things. I've got to put off the old. I've got to put off the old.
Amen.
So that I can put on the new. Verse 10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. So I got to put off the old man, I got to put off the old ways, and I've got to put on the new man. So, if we're really honest about this, I think we could find some things that would apply. A lot of us are pretty good about how we act in public, but we might be angry or harsh at home. I got to put that off. My day-to-day life.
Amen.
Put off anger. Put it off. And I got to put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge. Put on mercy, put on kindness, put on humility, put on meekness, put on long-suffering. You know, those are descriptive of Christ, right? Do you see Jesus in that?
Amen.
Is he merciful?
Amen.
Oh, is he merciful?
Right.
Is he kind?
Amen.
There's no one more kind. Was he humble?
Amen.
I mean, we can't even imagine how humble he is. He condescended from heaven to be a man. Meekness. We talked about this the other day. Meekness is not weakness.
Amen.
They rhyme, but they don't mean the same thing. Meekness is power under control.
Amen.
Did Jesus Christ display power under control?
Amen.
They spit in his face, guys. Do you think he restrained himself at all? Yeah, he was meek.
Right.
Was he long-suffering?
Amen.
Was he long-suffering?
Amen.
Is he long-suffering?
Amen.
See, when I put off the old man and I start putting on these things, I am putting on Christ. I am becoming more like Jesus. And that's the work he wants to do. And he wants us to do this every day in everyday life. He changes how we live with people. When I start putting off the old man, putting on the new man, it changes how I interact with others. Look at verse 13. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity or love, which is the bond of perfectness. I don't know if you're aware of this, but when you live in this world, you're just going through day-to-day life. The ordinary life is going to come with people. And where there are people, there are problems. There's going to be conflict.
Amen.
Difficult people, hard conversations, misunderstanding, disappointments, offenses, and he uses the word here, quarrels.
Amen.
That's going to be a reality in the world. I got news for you. It's going to be a reality in the church. And in case you've been living on another planet, it's going to be a reality in your marriage.
Amen.
I know I told you before. I did a couple of weddings before Melissa and I even got married. And I had to do premarital counseling. So I'm this young kid who's never been married trying to tell these young couples about to get married about how to do marriage. And I had no idea what I was doing. I'm like, let's read Ephesians 5. And I really don't know what else to do but that. But I remember one young couple that I counseled, they told me that they had never had a fight. They've been dating a while, never had a fight. And they said, and we never will. Now, I didn't know much, but I knew to laugh at them when they said that. And I tried to argue with them. I said, listen, there's going to come a day. No. We've never fought and we never will. And I'm like, listen. I'm like, no, we've never fought and we never will. And I said, okay, listen. Just in case, by some off chance, that happens. People and families are going to have quarrels. At work, at school, everywhere there are people, you're going to have quarrels. But we're not supposed to be quarrelsome, right? So what do? Forbearing one another? That just means put up with people. What does that look like? Well, I think it looks different in a lot of cases, but we have to learn to care enough about people that we put up with them, and then we forgive them. Well, you don't know what they did. Forgive them. But you don't know what they did. What does he say? Even as Christ forgave you. So in the same way that you've been forgiven, for the same reasons that you've been forgiven, forgive them. Do they deserve it? No. But we forgive. We forgive. Living alive means the forgiveness we have received becomes the forgiveness we give. Verse 15, the peace of God has to rule our hearts. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful.
Amen.
Thankfulness is not just like some side thing. Thankfulness keeps our heart from becoming bitter. Thankfulness helps us live alive and live awake to God's goodness. His peace rules our hearts when we are thankful. When we pray with thanksgiving, when we are thankful, when we praise him and tell him, and we want his peace to rule our hearts every single day. And I know there's some days it's hard for you to be thankful, but that's just because you're not thinking about God's blessings.
Amen.
So stop thinking about your problem and start thinking about his blessings.
Amen.
I'm amazed at people in history who have been thankful for horrific things. Like Corrie Ten Boom and her sister being thankful for fleas because it kept the soldiers away. Or another man who was a missionary who was captured and he had to clean out the sewer pit. He had to wade out in raw sewage to clean it out. And he loved it. He was thankful. He gave thanks for it. Wading in raw sewage up to his neck, he was thankful for it. You know why? Because he could sing praises to God out there and they wouldn't beat him. I don't care what situation you're in, you can find a reason to give thanks.
Right.
When we're thankful, peace rules our hearts.
Right.
And he does that with all of us.
Amen.
To the which you're called in one body. Peace individually, peace as a body. And then verse 16, the word of Christ must dwell richly in us. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Our life has to be filled with the word of God. The Bible can't be just something that that it comes around and visits us occasionally. This isn't, you know, family that comes in for the holidays. The word of Christ has to dwell with us all the time. The word of Christ lives in us, and it shapes us, and it corrects us, and it comforts us, and it teaches us, and it admonishes us, and it also should be a part of our worship.
Amen.
Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and I'll just make a little side note, our songs ought to be biblically accurate.
Amen.
And theologically rich.
Amen.
Our songs ought to just come from the scriptures and be truths that we teach to one another when we sing them.
Amen.
Does that make sense to you? There are a lot of songs out there with the label of Christian that are not biblically accurate.
Amen.
And can I just say, we don't have time to waste our time on stuff like that. Whatsoever, means whatsoever. Look at verse 17. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. That's good. Whatever you do. This was brought up in, I don't even remember where now, Bible study or sometime the other day. Somebody asked a question when they were growing up, wanted to do something, and their dad said, can you take Jesus with you? Can Jesus go with you? And another question was brought up, and it's from this. Can you give thanks to God for it? If I do this thing, can I later give thanks to God that I did it? That's a pretty good test, isn't it? I'm thinking about going here. I'm thinking about doing this. I'm thinking about watching this movie. I'm thinking about hanging out with these people doing these things. I'm thinking about whatever. If you do it, can you give thanks to God for it? That's pretty good. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So whatever you do, whether you say it, whether you do it, whether you go there, whatever you do, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Whatever you do. Jump down to verse 23 real quick for sake of time. You can read the in-between later. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. So whatever I do in word or deed, I'm going to do in the name of the Lord Jesus, under his authority, under his power, under his control, and for his glory. And whatever I do, I'm going to do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. This is hard. This is hard. Whatever task you do, you ought to remember that God is watching, and everything I do for him.
Amen.
So what can I do? I mean, how far can you take this? Can you brush your teeth to the glory of God? Well, I've seen some kids who definitely weren't glorifying God with the way they brushed their teeth. I mean, I don't even know that you could call it brushing. Right? They stuck some toothpaste in their mouth, like that's it. I was thinking about this yesterday. Can you weed eat a yard to the glory of God? Is that possible? I think you can. I think you can also do a really terrible job that wouldn't be fit for people, much less the Lord. Right? I think about this verse a lot. And I'm going to be honest with you, a lot of times I'm convicted because I do something, I'm like, it's good enough, right? No, I want to do everything I do heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Because God sees everything. And when my heart is towards him and for him, he's going to bless that. No honest work we do is meaningless when it's done for Christ. I think you can drink sweet tea to the glory of God. Nobody else wants to amen that? I mean, what am I going to have to say? Diet Coke? I'm not sure you could drink Diet Coke to the glory of God, but maybe you can. Just teasing. I got one more. I need you guys to tell me. Is it possible to eat like Twinkies to the glory of God? Can you do that? Because I want to say that when I pray and ask God to bless this, that I am displaying great faith in God's miraculous abilities. There's nothing nutritional in a Twinkie, but I eat them with thanksgiving. Let me wrap it up with these five steps. Practicalities. Number one, aim your life towards Christ. Remember, seek and set. That's your aim. Aim your life towards Christ. Seek those things above. Set your affection on things above. Christ is your life. Number two, put to death what belongs to the old life. Put to death what belongs to the old life. Mortify sinful desires, uncleanness, disordered affections, evil desires, covetousness. Put it to death. Number three, put off the old and put on the new. Put off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication, lying, the deeds of the old man. Put on the new man through mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, forbearance, forgiveness, and love. Put off and put on. So, aim your life towards Christ. Put to death what belongs in the old life. Put off the old man, put on the new. Number four, let Christ rule within and among you. Amen. Let Christ rule. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Be thankful. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And that shapes our worship, our teaching, our admonition, and our life together.
Amen.
And number five, do everything for the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Whatever you do, in word or deed, do it in the name, under the authority of the Lord Jesus. Work
Amen.
Heartily with all your heart, with your effort for the Lord, because we serve Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57, it says, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord."
Amen.
So what you do in your life, day to day, your ordinary life, live alive because you've been given life in Christ. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this time in the Word, and I pray you'll bless your Word in spite of me. I thank you for Jesus Christ, our Savior, who died for our sins and rose again, who has given us life, that we are no longer dead in our trespasses and sins, but we are alive unto you, God. I pray you help us to live alive every day of our lives, through the ordinary and mundane, through those mountaintop glorious days of rejoicing, and through those valleys and storms and trials and tribulations and times of persecution or suffering. Lord, in it all, may we live alive in our Savior Jesus Christ. And may our life be a testimony to those around us who are dead in their trespasses and sins, that they would see a life transformed by Jesus, and that we can be a bold witness to them, not just with our lives, but with our lips, that we will proclaim to them the gospel. Help us to bring others to saving faith in Jesus. Forgive us where we fall short, and may your will be done in every life, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Please, let's stand together.